Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to the Midweek Takeaway. Today we're joined by Kyla Hardy, President and CEO of Cloudbreak Discovery. Welcome back, Kyla. How's life treating you?
Hey, not too bad. How about you guys?
Yeah, all good. We've had a bit of a break and we're back on it, but obviously a bit somber over here at the moment with the passing of the Queen. So we got the state funeral on Monday. Times have changed, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's end of an era, right? So it's my understanding is it's London's quite the to-do right now. A lot of lineups to see her in resting in state. And I guess, yeah, you guys on Monday, there'll be a major funeral happening.
How's it been taken in our Commonwealth, Canada?
You know, it's Canada. Canada loves the Queen, loves the monarchy. It's I wouldn't say it's probably anywhere near as heady as it would be in the UK, but you know, it's our politicians and our population here in Canada are saddened by her passing. And you know, it's like I said, end of an era. You know, and let's see what the next bit brings.
Looking onto Cloudbreak, I mean, it seems from the last couple of news announcements that you've sort of shifted focus onto the commodities required for the energy transition. Do you want to explain this shift and why it's important to sort of adapt with the times?
Yeah, absolutely. So you know, we've always said that we're a project generator for the natural resource sectors. Sectors being both the energy side and the mineral side, exploration side. So we've taken our model of looking for interesting opportunities and that fit our business plan and that energy transition on the minerals and exploration side and move that into the energy sector. We're backing two teams right now, G2 Energy as well as Legato, formerly known as Ironforge 3. And yeah, we like the opportunity that they've presented us. They're going back into to existing brownfield operations, reworking a number of wells, very heavily natural gas focused, which we've been very adamant about since our founding and sort of a long-term business plan of ours, that nat gas is a key fuel in the energy transition. It's as you move away from oil, as you move away from coal more and more, it becomes it's one of the cleaner fossil fuels, if you will. And you guys in Europe and the UK right now are really feeling the pinch of that from the goings on in Eastern Europe and Russia. So we see an opportunity here to be part of a solution rather than a problem.
Yeah, sure. Show us the gas, show us the oil. Kyla, there's a bigger story to this, because I remember on the previous podcast you were talking that you actually developed a whole portfolio of this type of stuff before, and then you got your hands tied because basically you couldn't go into this market for a period of time. So tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, for sure. So we previously built a small royalty business in the energy sector, focused in Kentucky of all places, and we really liked the stripper well opportunities, and we came up with a pretty unique structuring mechanism around really building strong returns for us, but backing operators or backing management teams. And a family office ended up buying us out at that stage very quickly, and it was a private deal. And yeah, we've been under non-compete for the last, oh man, I guess it's about 6 or 7 years now. Now that we're off that, it's time to redeploy a similar model that we've deployed before and have refined since.
Well, that's quite a long non-compete clause that you have.
They paid us a pretty good premium, so we were willing to enter into a pretty good non-compete.
And that was non-compete in the US, I take it.
That's right,
not worldwide. Yeah.
Yeah, it was non-compete in the U.S. And we don't think that, you know, the energy sector in Canada is very interesting to us. But at the same time, it's unfortunately, it's trapped energy. We don't have enough pipeline capacity to move that. And so we look at the U.S. as a very strong market that we can participate in. You know, independent oil and gas producers are a regular thing down there rather than the abnormal up in Canada. And, you know, as far as the international stage goes, we don't have the expertise in it and nor the bench strength to go into those much larger plays, if you will, and across Africa, really, unless we're part of a team like we did down in Namibia. We were a small piece of that acquisition down there.
So from the point of view of these deals, and I'm assuming there's a few more lined up because obviously your hands have been untied by this now. Yep. Give us a bit about the financials that are, you know, in terms of net, what's going to be coming to CDL on a monthly basis?
For sure. So currently, both companies, Legato and G2, are reworking their the wells on these fields, you know, swabbing, recompleting. There's some additional horizontal drilling going on. You know, our first cash flow has come off of G2's Maston unit project. We're very happy with the performance of those guys. And Legato has just started the rework on their wells that have been shut in for a number of years. We're, you know, obviously, depending on the fluctuation in oil and gas prices, we're anticipating once these two fields are reworked, getting someplace in 80 to 110K per month revenue into us, which we think is an absolute game changer.
Yeah, this is US dollars?
That's right, US dollars, yes.
Okay, so we're talking maybe 70 to 100,000 pounds.
Yeah.
So this amount on these first two deals, this covers all the overheads of CDL and more?
That's right. Yep, slightly more, and you know, we're pretty excited about that, and we anticipate being able to start to acquire, you know, a third, fourth, hopefully a fifth project here or royalties in the coming months as well, and we're actively doing due diligence and trying to grow that that cash flow.
So the two that you've got, they're both in Texas, or is what?
That's right.
Yeah. So are you intending to stay there, or are the places around the U.S. that you'd rather be?
So we really like Texas. It's, you know, one, it's a great state. Obviously, it's the center of energy in North America, really. We think that there's still a lot of opportunity there, especially with these reworks and the quality of management teams. We have been looking in other jurisdictions. We've been looking up into Indiana. We've been looking into Wyoming. Have looked in Colorado and Utah a little bit. But the bulk of our efforts is really in Texas. And, you know, the quality of the basins and reservoirs there is just, second to none globally.
So the backdrop behind this is that when we basically had the opposite energy crisis, as in that the oil and gas was so cheap, that a lot of these guys had to shut the production in. Yeah. And now they've got the opportunity to bring it back out. I presume that is it. I mean, that's very simplistic, but is that what we're talking about?
About as simple as that, to be honest with you. We don't like to overcomplicate things here. But you're absolutely right. You know, after the global financial crisis in 2008 and the big spike and then the big pull off in prices after that, we, you know, and then back into 2013-14 with a big pullback in energy prices at that stage, you know, it's easy to shut in, and it takes a lot of effort to go and rework or reopen things, especially if they're marginal fee. So it's a family owned operation. So yeah, a lot of times these type of fields will just get shut in and not forgotten about, but put on the shelf until better times. And I think we're in those better times right now, especially in the energy sector.
Yeah, and it's gonna be there for a number of years. You have to think there's no way that oil and gas prices are suddenly going to go down 50%. Yes, there's going to be fluctuations, but you just can't see it doing what it did in the past. And
yeah, exactly. You know, we're pretty bullish on energy prices. It's a crisis globally, not just in Europe and the UK. Inflation's running rampant, and energy prices are a major piece of that. You know, it's unfortunate for everyone that has to pay those high prices, but if we want to be hopefully part of the solution and build some more capacity and some more production to help alleviate that a bit.
So Kyla, in the past, obviously, we know you've had a sort of proven track record of delivering this in a private fashion.
Yeah.
And you've obviously got a keen eye for picking these projects. Do you want to tell us about there was an acquisition of the Imperial Helium project by Royal? Mm-hmm. Who are obviously a listed company, I believe, on the Toronto Stock Exchange. So do you want to tell the listeners a bit about that deal?
Yeah, absolutely. So we were within Imperial, we developed the Steveville project through development drilling, and the board of directors came to the conclusion that we needed more scale in order to really make it work, and we went out and did a lengthy process, courting a number of potential suitors. And we'd known of Royal for a number of years. I'd looked at those assets before Royal picked them up years ago, really, really liked them. And Andrew Davidson, their CEO, came and knocked on our door and said, we'd like to do a deal. And I mean, hey, you know, let's figure it out. We came to what we consider an excellent price on the transaction. So it was an all share deal. 0.614 Royal shares for every one Imperial Helium share. And we closed that on July 22nd. They're currently working through putting both fields, the Climax and the Steveville, into production. Latest I heard is late Q1, early Q2 2023. So into the coming year here. So that's, I mean, this year's pretty much gone. It feels like. So that's just right around the corner. Yeah. And they've recently signed a deal with a space launch company out of the U.S. that we're very excited about to supply helium for their rockets. Yeah. And I think that'll underpin the economics on the whole project. And luckily, you know, I'm very happy to have joined that board as part of the transition to represent our Imperial shareholders that are now Royal shareholders. And you know, I've got a lot of confidence in Andrew and his team. And you know, with a little bit of urging and looking at the UK markets, they've decided to join the AIM as well. And that's coming along currently. We should have a Pathfinder done here in the coming month, I hope.
So, what are the other assets and projects are you not so confident on? Because obviously, you're confident on them all; otherwise, you wouldn't have entered into any kind of deal with. But what are the next ones that you feel are going to be maturing? You know, we got Norseman and all the different projects. Do you want to go through some of them that you feel are nearing the end?
For sure. So in Cloudbreak, one of the major projects that we've got, you know, we've talked about this Northwest portfolio a number of times. We've luckily divested a number of those projects, or not divested, brought partners in on those projects who flew an airborne survey on them. Power Group Projects is the name of the company. And in addition to that, we flew an airborne on the Northern Treasure Project, which sits to the northwest of Brixton Metals in Northwest BC. Brixton and Hecla are advancing that project. They've had a number of great discoveries and drill holes up there over the last couple of years and continue to make news. So we'll be we should have results off of our Northern Treasure project here in the coming months. So we'll be looking for a partner on that one. Additionally, Temmas Resources has come out with the results of their PEA on the Piscanja project, which were extremely robust, in excess of 500 million NPV10 on that. And about just shy of a 1 year return on capital at a $63 million build. I believe that's the number. I might be a little bit wrong, but let's just call it that for now. And you know, they've got one more PEA to come out. They should be starting drilling here anytime on that in order to get some metallurgical samples, as well as do a little bit better resource definition on the LaBlanche project. So we hope to see that PEA in the coming months here. And you know, we're major shareholders there. We're about 15% of the company, maybe a little bit less now. They have been financing over the last while. And I think those are the two big ones. Allied Copper, they're currently in a drill program. We'll see what they come up with on the Klondike asset here. Probably late November is by the time they get results back. And yeah, those are the exciting things happening. Oh, sorry, I also forgot Norseman. They've just started drilling the Silver Switchback project as of maybe 10 days ago. So pretty keen to see what they come up with there, and major position in them.
So there's lots happening, but I think we need to get you and Rory and investigate them one by one so that the market can really understand what you're actually possessing here. Mm. Because based on a £9.1 million market cap at the minute, which I perceive now that the oil projects that you've got probably value should be enhanced greatly by this, especially now that you've got all fixed costs covered. It seems that the share price is rather ridiculous at the moment.
You and me both think that.
Yeah, half of the IPO price, and I can't believe how many more projects you've added since the IPO. Granted, you've had to increase the number of shares a few times to go into those projects, but even so, it seems rather bizarre.
We've got some major shareholders, including myself, just shy of 20% of the float. And it just, you know, I guess some of our shareholders on our IPO decided that they wanted to move on, and it's interesting though, you know, the since kind of I guess coming back to work here over the last few weeks, and you know, everyone coming back from a long deserved vacation after 2 years of plague and not being able to go anywhere. The volume in the stock has really picked up. We know that there's a number of our, you know, supporters out there picking up shares in the market, as they feel the same way, that it's wholly undervalued currently.
And considering it was up to what, 12, 13p as well, it seems to, it's just, you know, it yeah. seems like 1.5p is kind of like the basement, isn't it? You know, it's sat around those levels. And I've noticed there has been some more volume over the last sort of week or two. So it is starting to generate a little bit more liquidity.
Yeah. Yeah. It's nice to see. It's, you know, it's all we can do to tell the story and continue to build our business and, you know, getting people involved and, you know, believers, that they think that there's a, you know, upside and some opportunity there. It's nice to see, you know, it's, it always feels like, you know, we're talking to the market and it falls on deaf ears at times, but, there's clearly people who are listening out there and have made a decision for better or for worse for us, I suppose.
And what about the lithium? What about the lithium, Brian? Because we've mentioned that in the past. How are things progressing on those fronts?
So we're currently under NDA with a number of firms on those who are evaluating what we've put together there. It's a slow process as they are larger entities, but you know, we're hoping to come to a conclusion on a couple of them here. It's just, you know, I would have said months ago, but. You know, it's got people in the field looking at the projects and looking at this and that, and so it's a slow process, but it's, you know, they're doing their due diligence as we did and when we put the projects together. So it's coming along is the short answer on that. It's, you know, never as fast as we want, but I suppose it's, you know, as fast as it's going to go right now.
Yeah, everything in the world seems to slow down just that little bit, doesn't it?
Yeah.
In fact, in some cases, like painfully slow, and in other cases, just slow down a bit.
But, Kevin, I think that, you know, it's a really good point. You know, I do think after this, you know, after this plague and sort of people kind of getting a little bit back to normal here, people are smelling the roses a little bit more, if you will, kind of taking their time on a few things. Everything's not a hurry anymore, which is, you know, kind of nice to see. It's always seems to be go, go, go out there. And maybe people are taking a little bit more time for themselves and things that they like, but it's, you know, and outside of that too, it's just been, it's quite a hard financing market out there right now. It's, there's not a lot of stories that are gaining traction. It's been really quite difficult for a lot of groups to advance their stories. And I'm thankful that, you know, we've managed to maintain at least, you know, our business plan intact, even though the market is difficult currently and probably will be for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, it's interesting that you say that though, but in the resource sector, certainly in London now, we're starting to see good news being rewarded well, you know.
Definitely.
So we've had stocks go up 100% in a day for the first time in a long time. We had stock yesterday 50% up. We've had other stocks gone 60-70% over in a week or two. So it's starting to happen. You know,
yeah.
And you know, you are a prime candidate for this to happen, I'm sure of it. So I think any sort of volume and you're gonna go, you know, you're gonna go basically. How much, who knows? But I'm pretty sure that's gonna be the case. So
absolutely.
We'll see. As I say, give our best regards to Rory and let's get you both on again and talk more technical about all the other projects, I think, because that
absolutely
would be a good one. I think.
Yeah, that'd be really good. And you know, there's probably a new gent gonna join us in a bit of more of an advisory capacity as well from the oil and gas side. And I think you guys will really like speaking with him as well. He's a smart young geo from, like I say, from the energy sector.
Kyler, it's been a pleasure as always. Thanks very much for your time.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Kev.
This podcast was brought to you by Roast PR Limited. If you would like to appear on a future episode of The Sunday Roast, please email admin@thesundayroast.net.